the mother of the groom approached me. She said, the food was awful. The servers were slow. People were spiking drinks at a dry wedding, apparently sneaking alcohol from another bar into the building. The dance floor was a slippery hazard. The linens were dirty after people ate. My gosh, it didn't take a genius to see where this was headed. The hints for a massive discount started shortly after.
Oh,
here
no.
We go.
Oh no.
They don't want to pay. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. And I just want to jump into this episode. Kendra Matthews is here. She's one of my favorite people on the internet. She creates amazing skits and content. She is a makeup artist and esthetician, super talented. And we just had so much fun chatting. And of course, we react to a wild wedding story. I just want to jump in. I have so much energy from talking to her. She's just such a light. And we just had a lot of fun. So without further ado, here is my chat, interview, and story reaction with Kendra Matthews. Enjoy. Hi, Kendra.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for coming back on. I'm so excited.
It's so great to be back. It does not feel like it's been like, what, a year since we filmed our last episode together. So yes. I'm so excited. It's been so cool to see how your podcast has grown. I've loved watching everybody's little interviews and everything. It's been really entertaining. So it's super cool to be back again.
I know. I think the fun thing about it is just being able to connect to so many people. Like, I feel like if it weren't for this podcast, we would never have had a sit down to like talk like this or it just makes it so fun. And like forces me out of my shell too, because I feel like working from home, like I just have a plan of what I do. And like a lot of times I don't see a lot of people. So it's a great way to connect.
Hey, I won't lie. This is the first time I've worn makeup in a month beyond just tinted SPF and some freaking mascara. I'm like, well, I better put on a face today because I'm filming an episode. So thank you for giving me a reason to get dolled up.
Hey, anytime. No. Do you feel like people expect you as a makeup artist? Like, oh, they expect me to have full face?
So yes. And I will say that if I'm doing makeup clients, I do try to put like a little bit more makeup on. But my day to day, I'm an esthetician. So I mean, my day to day is more like facial clients, eyebrows, lashes, things like that. And I feel like most of my clients are more regulars now where they're coming every 6 to 8 weeks. And I don't think that they really care that I'm just wearing some tinted moisturizer and a little bit of mascara. But when it comes to makeup clients, I think that it does, one, there is that level of professionalism, I feel, and this can be heavily debated too. Like some people feel you don't have to wear makeup as a professional makeup artist while you are doing work. But for me, I find that the very few times that I haven't done that, I get a lot more questioning my skills, I guess, that if that makes sense, where it's like, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? So I think being able to be like, I do know how to do makeup, it's right. A little bit more comforting to the person, yeah. And a little bit more encouraging. Yeah,
I feel like that's probably, yeah, like a natural thing. Like, oh, if you're hiring for someone for hair or for nails, you are looking at their hand and nails. Although I feel like whenever I get my nails done, they're probably just like so busy that like they are more worried about their client and less about their own.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So like we said, it's been like a year since you've been on. So what's been new for you? What have you kind of done over the last year that you're like, I know you've been speaking at events I've been seeing, and
yes,
kind of your big thing you're working on or did the last
year? So in the past year, it was a lot of traveling. I did a lot of traveling last year. I went to a bunch of different conferences. I taught a lot at different conferences around the country. I did my first kind of like independent class where it wasn't in relation to any of those. And that was really exciting. But yeah, I mean, I got to go to Anaheim. I got to go to Orlando, Chicago, Denver. Yeah, kind of all over.
Is it all like students that go to your classes or can like anyone go to your class?
So it is. Typically, for the conferences and stuff, those are beauty professionals only. Right. But people who are in cosmetology school, esthetician school, anything like that, they can come too. But these ones, it is more of like just for the industry, but they're very, very packed. So it's definitely not like I'm feeling like I'm missing out on seeing a lot of people, which is really cool too. It definitely feels like I'm still offering a good amount of education. But yeah, mostly more beauty professionals when it comes to those types of things. I would love to do more open to the public type of classes. It's just trying to find the time between bridal season to make that happen. But yeah, so definitely got to meet a lot of the beauty students, makeup artists, cosmetologists, hairstylists, barbers, all the things that follow me in person. So that was really nice. And I love doing these events. Like the one that happens in Chicago, I've done that for, I think this is my fourth year being with them teaching. And so it's been cool to just see the growth of myself, but also when people come back and they're taking my classes again. And now they're telling me when I first came, I was still a student, and now I own my own makeup studio, or I own my own salon, or I've been at a salon for however many years and I'm getting steady clientele. Like, it's just been really cool to do that. So that has been a big thing travel wise. And then just weddings. I mean, I was pretty busy this year. I did make the decision to kind of step back from taking every wedding, and mostly because I, one, was doing so much other traveling with teaching and things like that. Like, I do need to have the availability to do that, even though I did still have where I would be leaving a wedding to jump on a flight to go teach at these places. But I did take a step back. Typically in a year, you know, I would take anywhere from 50 to 60-ish weddings, but I just, it's a lot. And I made the decision last year to step back, and I wanted to take only about 30 weddings just to give myself a little bit more time, which I think was really smart, not just for me, but it let me learn a lot about myself. And I think it was a really healthy thing for me to do. And I think that it's going to be a good thing that I learned those things to share with other people. Just things like burnout, man. Like, it's so easy to get locked into the go, go, go. And once you do take that step back, it's like, whoa. I guess I have been like in fight or flight for the past 8 years because I've just been doing so many weddings. So I did make that decision. That's something I'm moving forward with in 26 as well, is just less weddings, more educating is kind of my goal too. I want to do more teaching this year. But yeah, so weddings last year, I got to do my first couple further out of state weddings, which was exciting. I got to go to New York to do a wedding. So yeah, just lots. Travel was kind of the theme of last year. Just go, go, go. But awesome.
I feel like that's a really like common thing I hear, whether it's like wedding industry or just like starting your own business. It's really exciting, like when your business grows and you just want to say yes to everybody. I feel like I've had so many conversations with people. They're like, all of a sudden it just like hit me, like, I'm burned out. I can't say yes to everybody. I was talking to a wedding planner. I'm trying to think of what month it was, maybe like a month or two ago. A friend of mine, similar thing. Like, she was like, I'm finally toning it back with weddings a little bit, because she was doing like 40, 50 a year. And most of them are in that like wedding season. And she's like, it's just exhausting, but you're just like, go, go, go. And you're like, this is exciting. It's fun. But then you realize like, I don't have time to myself, or like my body hurts. Yes. I have to actually like absorb
it. Well, and that's the thing too. That's something I really had to be mindful of. I think I've shared this before, but I am somebody that I do struggle with chronic illnesses, and I am physically disabled. I have my hip replaced. So, I mean, I do feel like as I'm getting older, I do need to also be mindful of myself, because there were times in recent years before I did take that step back where I would get done with a wedding. And actually, here's a good little story for me to tell, I guess. I had a wedding where it was at a hotel, and I had a pretty decently long day. On average nowadays, the most I will take alone to do makeup is probably about 7, maybe 8 people, but probably closer to 7. I don't like to go over that too much, because it's just, that's a lot of standing without being able to take a drink of water or go to the bathroom, things like that. So I had, I want to say around about 8 people, and I got done with the wedding. I had been there from like, I want to say 1 o'clock. Sorry, math is not my strong suit at this moment. So let's say I got done around like 1, and I say goodbye to everybody. Everybody's happy. Everything's awesome. And I knew I was not feeling well. So one of the conditions I have, it's called POTS, which you may have heard of before. It stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, for those who are listening who don't know what that is. And in very, very, very basic terms, when I am standing, my heart rate is elevated. When I am in the heat, it gets elevated even more. That's a trigger for me. High stress situations can cause me to get even worse. So I get done with the wedding, take the elevator downstairs, go out to my car, and I put my stuff in my car, sit down, and I leaned back and I closed my eyes and I actually passed out. I didn't realize that I did.
Oh my God.
But it was probably about, I would say, somewhere between like 5 to 8 minutes before I like opened my eyes again. And that's when I realized that I needed to start calming down. I needed to start taking less weddings. So after that wedding, that was, I want to say, in 24, leading into 25, I decided I just needed to really scale back. So I think that if it wouldn't have been for something like that happening, I probably still would be pushing myself. But for anybody listening, you don't have to have a chronic illness. You don't have to be physically disabled. You don't have to be anything to need to know your limits, to need to know what your end goal really is. Do you want to constantly be in a state of stress with like panic all the time of planning or, you know, free time for yourself? Your work shouldn't be your life. You should be able to have somewhat of a balance. And I did see somebody post something recently, like, does anyone know when I actually reach this work-life balance? Like, is that even a thing? And I think that there's no real set template of this is what works, this is what doesn't work. You kind of just have to figure it out as you go. And that's kind of what I've had to do, is just realize once I hit my limit, scale back until it feels comfortable.
Yeah. That's so funny you say that, because I just made a video talking about, I might have been kind of like implying work-life balance, but I did say something about like, one of the things I'm struggling with is trying to find balance, because I feel like the planner part in me always wants things to be like this. And when I'm not productive, I get so hard on myself. And so I'll have like days where I'm like, everything's like done that I need to, I check the boxes. And the other days where I'm just not productive and I'm just like, where's this balance? Or like, I feel like if I'm doing too much work, I'm not enough of a mom, or I'm not enough of a wife or a friend, you know, that pull of needing to do all these things. So I totally
I think that one thing that I heard in my life from just a friend of mine, and I don't even think she was trying to be any sort of inspirational thing or anything. She was just talking. She said that if I'm ever over excelling in one portion of my life, I'm failing in another. Mm-hmm. And that has really stuck with me. And I don't think that that's negative, like necessarily a negative thing. I think that if you think of your life as, right now, I want to be really excelling in my career, you have to also understand that that does equate that maybe your weekends are a little bit less. Your friend time is going to be a little bit less. And it's not ever to me that things will ever be 50-50 balance. I think that if you want to be excelling in one way, you have to give up a couple of things for it to be balanced, so that you're not trying to keep up with the friendships. Every single weekend we're going out, it's just not possible. And then you're putting way too much pressure on yourself, when at the end of the day, especially in this type of career, when you are your own boss, you're setting your own goals and aspirations and things like that. The only person who is holding you to that standard is you. So if you are being so hard on yourself with things like that, you're never going to feel balanced. You're never going to feel like you're accomplishing enough. And you're never going to feel like you've done it. You're never going to feel comfortable. You're never going to feel stable. You're always going to be reaching for more, wanting to do more. And it's not bad to have goals and have aspirations, but you can't stress yourself out to the point that you are holding yourself to not possible standards. Like, it physically can't happen. There's 24 hours in a day. People love to say that. We're not awake and going for 24 hours in a day. So I think that you just have to, as a person, whether you are just a person, whether you're a business owner, entrepreneur, makeup artist, whatever, the balance doesn't come 50-50. It's how can I rearrange things in my life to feel like what I'm wanting to focus on right now is what I'm focusing on, and I'm not stressing about trying to uphold other things too. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense.
No, it totally does. No, I love that because it's kind of like different seasons require different balances and different right. priorities. Because mm-hmm. you made a good point. It was like last year was my first full year, I would say, as an entrepreneur. I started in 2023 of my own business, but last year with like the social media consulting and all that stuff. And so I think I put like so much effort in it, but it was also my daughter's second year of life. I'm trying to think of like how the years were versus birthdays. So second year of life. So I'm like, oh, it's such an important stage. And then there's the mom guilt. And so you like push it back and forth. But I'm like, I also have the benefit of being home with her. So I do get to be home with her more than I think most working moms get to. So I got to remember like that's a privilege or something that I have that not a lot of people are able to do. So just kind of realizing those things and stepping outside of it is important. So I feel like that was like a mini therapy session. Thank you.
You're welcome. Most of that comes to you via my therapist. Thank you, Teresa. We love you.
Thank you. Yes. I was hearing things like that. I'm like, maybe I should go back to therapy. I'm like, just so I have someone like talk to you about things like that. Cause it's so.
I think everybody needs a therapist. I think everybody should go to therapy, even if you don't feel like you are struggling with something right now, even if it's not like, I need therapy. You know what I mean? I don't think that you will ever not benefit from having somebody to talk to that's not biased, that can help you work through situations, even if it's just that you're going through a hard time at work or kind of what we're talking about, like maybe you are struggling with mom guilt. I wouldn't say when you're struggling with those things, most people in your life are going to be like, wow, you need therapy.
Right.
But I do think that if you are in therapy while you're going through those things in your life, you're going to benefit from it. You're never going to be like, why did I even sit through that therapy session? I think you can always benefit from therapy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think it's like one of those things where it's just good to sometimes like say it out loud.
Yeah.
Because I even like the people that submit stories to me too, like these wedding drama stories or relationship things, they always tell me at the end, or I should say like a lot of times at the end, they're like, even if you don't use this, it was really good for me just to like type it out. Cause they're like, it allowed me to like see what happened and understand how I feel about it. Cause I think so many times, like we're talking about is like, go, go, go. What the heck just happened? Oh, well, next problem. You know, you kind of just push it aside.
Yeah.
So I think
absolutely.
It's so beneficial. And I think therapy too is way less stigmatized than it was like when we were like children, maybe.
Yeah.
I've definitely gone to therapy multiple times in my life at like different points where stress was super high or something was going on. But it's funny. I've told someone this before, probably not on the podcast, but the last therapist I had, I loved her. She was great. But she like dismissed me at the end. She's like, all right, I think we solved the problem. We're going to be done now. And then like, she just said I was done. And I remember telling my boss at the time, because he's really like open about therapy and mental health.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had that happen before. And I was like,
I've never had that happen to me either. I've gone to therapy for the past, I want to say that I started therapy in 2020 and I've been seeing the same therapist since then. And I've taken breaks, you know, when I got off my parents' insurance or whatever. And well, I can't afford it right now.
I'm gonna pay for that.
Yeah. And then gotten back on with her. And yeah, there's never been a time, even when I felt like I was doing well and the therapy was more of just like a moment for me to check in with myself, I guess, where she's been like, all right, great. The only thing I would say that she ever says is, do you feel like we still need to meet monthly or would you want to maybe push it out to 2 months? That makes sense to me. But to be like, well, we solved the problem. I don't think that therapy always needs to be, and I'm not saying that it's never this way, but I don't think that it always needs to be solving the problem to end it, because problems keep coming up in life. Things keep happening. Who's to say that she didn't say, you know, we solved the problem, that's it. And then a week later, you have some major tragedy happen in your life and you have nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, you have friends, you have family, but you don't have an unbiased person who knows how you think, knows how you process things. Yeah. So that's kind of odd. I'm sorry you had that experience.
It was so odd. I was just like, at the time I was like, oh, cool. And then later I was like, wait, is that supposed to happen? I don't know. Yeah. It was weird. Maybe I need therapy to talk about that therapy.
And you're like, actually.
Actually. Anyway, I feel like I got off. Oh, there's no topic. Whatever. We're talking.
We're yapping. It's fine.
Yeah. Pause really quick. I just had a quick question about that. So, like, what was your first symptoms? You just noticed, like, your heart rate would kind of increase
So,
for a long time?
I have a little bit of an odd story kind of when it comes to my health in general. So, I have always really struggled with, like, exercise was always really difficult for me, and not in the sense of like, I don't want to do it, but it would be like, I don't want to do it as a child. And I'm running, playing basketball, and I'm great at sports, and I'm awesome at like these things at a young age, but I'm having to like ask to get taken out to take a break. And I'm like beet red and blood pooling in my legs and all that. I really noticed it amping up after I had my hip replaced. And POTS is one of a few things that I deal with. But I mean, I was on, or not even my hip replaced. I have had two hip surgeries on the same hip. The first one was a like experimental one to see if we could kind of push off the replacement so that I wouldn't have to get multiple throughout my life. But it only gave me like 4-ish years of relief. So after that surgery, I was still on the crutches from that surgery, and I actually passed out, and it was a whole thing. I was at work. So I had had my first hip surgery, and I actually passed out at work, like smacked my head off of a counter. It was a whole thing. Paramedics had to come. It was not great. But then I was noticing like it was just happening a lot more. And mostly it was like starting to amp up the more I was like stressed, because I found out now for me, stress and the heat are like my biggest triggers when it comes to my POTS. And so I had a family member pass away, and I had to sing at their funeral. And I don't even remember the last like verse that I'm singing. Thank God I said the words correctly, but I sang that. Stepped back. I was up in the balcony, so thankfully I wasn't also in front of everybody, but I like stepped back, looked over to a family friend and was like, I'm gonna pass out. She took me downstairs. Fine. And then after my second surgery, my hip replacement, that's when a lot of my other chronic illnesses started. I also have a condition called mast cell activation syndrome, which basically for me, your mast cells are the cells that kind of check out foreign invaders, like things coming into the body, and they go, we good or not good. I'm not a medical professional, so if I'm saying this wrong, but I do know that they are the reason that histamine is put out. And so for me, my mast cells are kind of always activated, hence mast cell activation syndrome. But what that means for me is I've developed a lot of allergies, and I can develop new ones to random things. And that might be just I'm itchy, but it's also like I go anaphylactic. I've had a whole life shift because of all of that. But because of my mast cell activation syndrome and POTS, if one of them gets mad, the other one gets mad. So I've had a couple of times where, I mean, I've passed out quite a bit. And not everyone with POTS will. That's kind of a misconception. Like people with POTS stand up and instantly pass out. That's not typically the case. Like some people will, but it's more of like a constant state of feeling like out of it, I guess. Like brain fog is massive with POTS. It affects your entire autonomic nervous system. So that's like breathing. That's like digestion. That's your heart rate, your temperature control. Things like that. So it's affected me in a lot of ways, which is, again, when I started realizing like, okay, this is affecting me when I'm taking too many weddings, that's, I really need to step back. But definitely it was like heart racing. I wear a device that's called a visible armband. I'm not wearing it today because I'm sitting, but it basically will show me second by second what's going on with my heart rate and alert me if I've been in the red zone for too long, if I am, you know, more apt to need to take a break or anything like that. So I wear that now, but yeah, it's not fun. It's definitely been one of the most debilitating things for me. And I think that it's something that I want to talk more about. So I'm glad that we get to talk about it here, because we don't really get to see much representation of people that are entrepreneurs that are also dealing with things like this, or business owners that are dealing with things like this, I feel like it's kind of stereotypical that it's more like, oh, you're a boss babe and you're just go, go, go. Awesome. And what people don't see with people like me who are chronically ill or whatever are the days that, I mean, I've even had here, I'm at my store right now, but I've even had here where between clients, I know I've got 20 minutes, I'm not doing well, and I'm taking my emergency meds, I'm laying on the floor with my feet elevated for 15 minutes, and then quick getting back to it, pushing through that. And then same thing between clients, I'm just having to take breaks. So yeah, that was a really long thing.
but that's good. Like you said, it's something that I think all people can learn more about, and I think be able to see like the behind the curtain kind of thing, because it's something that's not talked about a lot. And so that's why I was like really curious about your first symptoms and then kind of how you handle it now when you know it's like coming on, or, you know, feeling a certain
way. It's hard too, because the handling it thing isn't really like, it's one of those conditions that there's a huge spectrum. You could be somebody with POTS, and if you're listening to this now and you have POTS, that this is the case, please comment below, because I want people to feel not alone. But you could be somebody with POTS that you are on disability. You can't get out of bed. You're having people coming to your house, giving you IV infusions at home because you physically can't stand. Mm-hmm. It can be that severe. And then there's people like me that are kind of somewhere in the middle, like in wedding season, which unfortunately for me is when here is obviously like summer, fall, when it's warmer. So I'm getting like at least monthly infusions, but people aren't seeing that. I'm not showing that, oh, come with me to get my IV, and then constantly taking salt pills so that my blood pressure stays somewhat level, making sure that I'm like actually forcing myself to take drinks and stuff like that, working that time into my clients' timelines, things like that. There's this huge spectrum of POTS. And I think that it's becoming more well known, which I'm really happy about. But I think that people aren't seeing enough of working people with it. And so it can be a little bit like, oh, well, if you have POTS, why aren't you just on disability? It's not easy to do that. Thank you for letting me talk about that. I'm really happy that I got to share that with people.
No, of course. Yeah. You make a good point too about, I think, like in general, when someone hear about a disability or an autoimmune, the relate to one person they know, and they don't realize everything is a spectrum. So some people have very severe symptoms all the time, like you said, and some maybe internally battling every single day, and some might have smaller symptoms, or, you know, and so I think it's important to see that there's a wide span, and to just, you know, give grace to people and kind of understand that every situation might be a little bit different as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that. No, I was curious because I didn't really know much about it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So let's get into some of the wedding hot takes before we get to the story. So I started a new thing since last time. I don't think we did this last time. Red flag or green flag? So you're just going to, I'm going to say a sentence and then you'll just say if it's a red flag or a green flag.
Okay.
Replacing a bridesmaid close to the wedding.
That's a hard one, though, because I guess I know you want to answer red flag, green flag. It really depends on the situation, though. That's a hard one. So as a vendor, I would say maybe it's red flag for planning purposes and like scheduling purposes, depending on how close, like if it's the day before, like that can be a little bit like jarring. But I don't want to say it's a full red flag, because if that person in your bridal party was going to be chaotic or causing you tons of stress, or maybe there's been a massive falling out, green flag, please don't have them there. I don't want to have to be around that either. I don't want to be set in that stressful situation. I don't want my client in that stressful situation. So man, that's a hard one. I would say that really depends, but I'm leaning, I guess, more towards green.
I know. I feel the same way. I feel like a lot of these scenarios, there's so much like, so many details that could change it. It's like everyone's perspective and expecting attendance at every pre-wedding event. So the bride's like, you have to come to the engagement party, the shower, all that.
No, that's a red flag to me. You can't expect everyone to be everywhere all the time. I think that what people lose the plot on a lot when they're brides is thinking that, I think when you're a bride, that is the most important thing to you. That's what the majority of your planning is going towards for at least a year in most cases. That's like end goal, most important thing. Think of the times that you've been in a wedding, though. Maybe if it's like your best friend, but like life goes on, you have other things going on. Maybe somebody in your bridal party or an attendant or something, maybe they have somebody else getting married. They can't come. Like you can't expect people to just always be there. Is it nice? Yes, but I would never hold it against somebody if they couldn't come to something. I had people RSVP yes to my wedding. I had a very small wedding. We had like 50 people. And I had people very close to me RSVP yes, and they couldn't come because of X, Y, or Z. Was I like, oh, that sucks. Yeah, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm never talking to that person again. Yeah. I can't believe they wouldn't come. Like, that's a little bit of a red flag to me.
I know. It always gets lost on me when they're like, you must attend every single thing. My wedding's the priority. And I'm like, I realize that everyone else has lives too. My wedding is, yeah, it's important to me, but like, I don't expect it to be the most important thing to everybody else or anyone else for that matter.
No, yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
I had friends that couldn't come to the bachelorette or the shower, and I was like,
right,
your family, your health, your whatever you're going through goes
right.
First.
Exactly.
We will live.
Yeah.
Okay. Cash bars, red or green?
Cash bars. Yeah, I haven't really been to a wedding where that's been the case. So cash bar, explain to me, just to make sure I'm understanding, that's where you're like paying to.
Yeah, there's just, yeah, they probably don't provide any drinks. I've never been to a full cash bar either. Usually at least there's or something, but yeah, it's just like, there's no drinks provided, I would say.
I would say that's a little bit of a red flag if it's fully a cash bar. Like if you're not providing any sort of refreshments, like that would kind of be a little bit alarming. You have to have something for somebody to drink. But if it's cash bar just for, I guess that's also a little bit hard though. Like my family doesn't really drink. So it would be like, we had nothing at my wedding. So I don't know. I think that kind of just depends on the person. I think that if your family is somebody that you are, people that you know are going to drink, and you know that maybe you can't provide that much, I mean, maybe having like a set drink or something that is free or included with the wedding. And then maybe if there's something like extra that somebody wants.
Right.
I don't know. I've just not been to something like that.
Yeah. And I feel like if they're not providing anything, like no kind of refreshment, I'm talking even non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not providing anything and expecting like people to come, then sure, that's a little bit of a red flag if they expect everybody to like pay for food and drinks once they're there.
Right.
But if it's like, oh, we're just talking like your aunt prefers like this really fancy vodka, then
yeah,
I think it's a red flag that them pay for it.
I totally agree. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Right.
It needs to be an open bar or anything. Okay, last one, announcing a pregnancy at the wedding.
Oof, to me, girl, that's going to be a red flag. That is, unless the only time I can ever see it be okay is one, it's the couple announcing that they are pregnant, obviously, or if it's been super well discussed and maybe the couple has asked for this to happen there. Otherwise, so I probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
That's like one of those things. I didn't even know that was a thing until I started getting story submissions.
Yeah.
And the amount of times where it's like someone wants to announce someone else's pregnancy at the wedding. One story I read was like the mother-in-law wanted to announce the younger brother's and his girlfriend's.
Oh, I think I saw your story about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was one. And then there was another one like last year. It was like kind of similar where the couple, well, they asked the couple and the couple said no. And they, the
oh,
mom
then
was still,
red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mom was still bringing in like a box to like surprise everybody with, and then still did like a mini celebration at the table, even after they said no.
That's wild to me. That's up there with if somebody is getting married and they're like, hey, photographer, my husband and I just got engaged like this week. Could you take some engagement photos at this person's wedding?
Yes.
Like, it's that level to me where it's just, a common courtesy thing to like not do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't even, if I was at somebody's, like, they just graduated college, we're having this really fun party, I wouldn't be like, hey guys, by the way, make this about me. Like, there's moments in life where it's not about you. Yeah. I think that's a big thing to remember is sometimes it's not your turn. Yeah. It's this person's turn. It's their moment to shine. And unless they are super like, please, I want you to.
Just let them shine.
It's just rude. It's just rude.
Yeah. We don't need to always turn it back to us.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I'm going to do a couple of would you rathers and then we'll get into our story. These are like more like makeup kind of focused. Okay. Would you rather start glam at 5 a.m. or be rushing to put lipstick on in the car?
Oh, definitely start glam at 5 a.m. I don't like feeling rushed. I hate it. It makes me so stressed and anxious, and my luck, I'm going to like think that I'm putting it on good and then I get out and I'm looking like the Joker. Like, I just, no, I would rather start earlier.
Oh my gosh, totally. I think I said this before, but like when I was in a lot of weddings, I always felt like they put me at the earliest slot because they're like, oh, we know you wake up early. That was also pre-kid. They're like, we know you wake up early. So I'd be like in my chair, like half asleep. But I did like just being done and then I could just like hang out with everybody. Yeah. I didn't have to rush or worry. Like, cause sometimes being some of the later ones, you're like, are we going to have time? Or you're like,
oh, 100%. Yeah. And for me too, like what I like to do personally to avoid that, and if you're a makeup artist listening, I always, let's say they tell me they need to be done by 3, we're going to be done by 2. Mm-hmm. I want to give that little bit of wiggle room for touch-ups. Maybe there was an emotional gift that somebody was given and like they completely like, I want to have time for things. People get stuck in traffic, things happen. So always give yourself a little bit of extra time. And for any brides or somebody that's getting married that's listening, just because when you're getting ready on the everyday, it might take you an hour and a half to do hair and makeup, please know wedding time is its whole different thing. Like, it is so different. You might be thinking, wow, my makeup artist wants to start at 7 a.m. We don't have to be done till 3. That's crazy. And then when you're getting done, you're like, how has the day flown by? How have we, like, where did that go? That's what I hear 99% of the time at weddings. It's just like, whoa, that day went by so fast. Like, So always give yourself a little extra time.
I know. You don't think of like the random person popping in to say hello and like step by or setting up food for your bridesmaid. You know, you just don't think those little
things. Don't think about it.
Running to the bathroom. Oh, I forgot this in my room. Like,
exactly.
Always something. So
something. Yes.
Yeah. Would you rather a bridesmaid hate her makeup or refuse the look and do her own?
Would I rather a bridesmaid hate their makeup or... When you say refuse their look and do their own, like they just are like, I don't want you to do my makeup.
Yeah.
I'd rather them do their own. Like, if they're going to hate it the way that I do it, you don't need me to do it. If you're good at what you're going to do and you're already happy with how you do your makeup, don't feel like you have to get your makeup done. I would rather that because that just puts anxiety on everybody that day. The person getting their makeup done is going to go into it knowing that they're going to hate it probably, or just, I know my features better. I've never liked my makeup done by somebody else. They're going to go into it that way. The makeup artist is going to be thinking of all the ways that they can try to make that not happen and make the person happy just for them to not be happy in the end. Yeah. If you know you're somebody that you just don't like getting your makeup done by somebody else, just do it yourself. Even if you are the bride, the groom, whoever, like just do it yourself. It doesn't.
Yeah. I feel like if you're like super picky, you need to just do it yourself if you know what you're doing. Yeah, know yourself in those moments. Cause like when I'm a bridesmaid, I love getting my makeup done. I just trust the makeup artist. I'm like, you know what you're doing. But I have friends that like, they're just very particular and they're just good at their own makeup and they do it. And like, that's just about knowing yourself.
Absolutely. For myself, I did my own makeup on my wedding day. And that was because I enjoy the process of putting makeup on. I enjoy doing it myself. But if I were somebody that didn't enjoy that and you're like, man, every time I do my makeup, I hate it. Get somebody to do your makeup for you. Yeah. Even if it's like, I can't afford a makeup artist. Maybe you have a really talented friend or something that does makeup really well. It's okay to do that too. You don't have to, but on the flip, don't think like we're saying that you have to have a makeup artist. If you're like, I'm good at what I do, it's not a necessity. You don't need a makeup artist to get married. You need a officiant. You need a venue. You need a wedding dress. Those are needs. This is wants and luxuries. You don't have to have it.
Right. Totally. Would you rather one bridesmaid be 45 minutes late or one bridesmaid be overly controlling about the schedule?
I would definitely have somebody that's maybe a little bit more controlling about the schedule, because I'd rather have somebody that's on me about the times and whatnot versus somebody who is just so nonchalant. Then I'm anxious, everything's running behind. I'm probably going to get blamed for the fact that things are behind, even though I didn't do anything wrong. I'd rather have somebody way more on me about the time, because me personally, like, I am so, it might not seem it if you're any of my clients watching this now, but in that moment, I mean, what I do, and this is a little tip too for makeup artists for weddings, like, I set my schedule as my lock screen for a wedding. And oh, I'm every couple little bit, I'm clicking it to see, to make sure that I'm good. And to somebody, it just looks like I'm checking the time, but I'm really like seeing how I'm doing on time. So shoot, if somebody wants to be the little voice in my head that's already happening when I'm doing this, like, sure, I'd rather have that than somebody be late.
Yeah, I love that. Because it's like one bridesmaid may be a little late, but they don't always realize how much that could push back everybody else. Especially like, what if it's a wedding where there's only three or four bridesmaids? Then you're kind of reshuffling everybody. But it's good to have that schedule. Like when I've been hired for like day of coordinators, I'm like on it. I'm the same as you. I'm like checking. I'm like, okay, all right, where's our next bridesmaid? You're on deck. When she's done, you're swapping.
Because again, it goes back to the whole thing that wedding time is its own thing. Like, it is just so different than an everyday type of thing. You have to be so scheduled because, one little thing can really throw off a whole day. And I've had it in the past where I had a bridesmaid be super late, and it almost made it to where I couldn't do the grandma's makeup. Like, the grandma would have just not had makeup. I made it work.
Yeah.
Bride not happy with me because of the delay, but I made it work because I'm not going to let somebody's grandma not have makeup. That's crazy. That would make me sad. But it's so easy to throw off an entire day without even realizing it, because 45 minutes, me, I block out an hour for makeup, but that's including like cleaning in between, time for me to like, take a drink or whatever. Yeah. So it's really more 45 minutes. So if you think about it, if you're 45 minutes late, you're pushing the day a whole appointment slot back. Like, that is a lot of time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. No, that's a great point. Hey, drama lovers. Big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. All right, let's just get into today's story, because it's always end up being a little bit longer than I think. So let's just get into it.
Okay.
And feel free to stop me or pause at any time if you want. Guys, we'll just back on as we go. All right. I was the maitre d' for all types of events at a golf course and country club. Every Sunday, we hosted a flat-priced buffet with no alcohol for gospel groups' prayer gathering. They danced, sang, and filled the room with joy. The staff loved watching and listening to them, and we never had a single issue. We genuinely looked forward to their visit. One of the young women from the group decided she wanted her wedding there on a Sunday afternoon with the group present. I walked her through everything, the theme, menu, colors, ceremony, flow, flowers, readings, dances, bar options, extra servers, sleeping arrangements for the newlyweds, backup plans for the bad weather, and even contingency plans for family issues. Okay, they got it all. We had the space for 6 hours, including the ceremony. For comparison, the gospel group typically used the room for only 2 to 2.5 hours on the regular Sundays. So I'm thinking they wanted to rent they wanted them to sing at her wedding. Is what I'm getting.
It's sounding like she wants them to be very involved with the day. Because it says they want the guests present that are normally there on Sundays.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So she wants them to be there. Okay. They were loud, joyful, and energetic, but never obnoxious. Just a genuinely happy to be alive vibe. The first deposit to hold the date and room was paid immediately with no issues. Over the next 4 to 5 months, the bride and groom agreed to every recommendation we made, used all our preferred vendors, and sometimes even brought me homemade baked goods. We clicked really well. The only request they made beyond my cake recommendation was an extra tier and specific symbol to honor their deceased parents and a sibling. We upgraded the cake at no additional charge.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. As the second deposit approached, they continued adding upgrades, and RSVPs were higher than expected. We needed additional servers, more food, extra tables, and more rentals overall. They also decided to move the wedding up by 3 weeks to the earliest Sunday we had available. I'm wondering how late into the planning this was, because
that's a pretty big shift.
Yeah. And schedules, adding people. Okay. She said that wasn't an issue, but it did mean we couldn't get the exact same linen colors in time, and they needed to secure an available pastor. We agreed to keep the second deposit due date the same as the original planned and not move it up. 2 weeks before the wedding, I checked in again. Everything was fully planned, and it was a lot. I heard nothing back. 3 days before the wedding, I left messages for the couple and both mothers, while also confirming flowers, linen, staff, transportation, and final details. The following afternoon, Friday, they still haven't heard from them. Oh my gosh.
It's okay. We are crunch time and we've not heard anything. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm locked in.
I know. I was like, what do you do at that point? We're just constantly calling them, emailing them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The following afternoon, Friday, the bride's uncle arrived with a check covering the remaining balance. My boss wasn't thrilled, but at that point we proceeded. Thrilled that the uncle came or that they were late.
Yeah. Cause that payment probably would be late, I would imagine. I feel like most things don't take payments that close.
Yeah, because we're talking, she doesn't say when the date was, but she's saying all of a sudden, just before the wedding, they still hadn't paid. They didn't hear anything back.
Well, and then we're at 3 days before the wedding.
Yeah.
So we're close. So I can see where they're stressed. You're not talking to us and it's not you that's bringing in the final check. It's some random relative.
You never call it back.
Yeah. Were they involved with this relative before? Is this person just showing up? I'd probably be a little frustrated as well.
And I'm wondering, for venues, if you don't get that second deposit, I'm sure they have a right to either add an extra charge or cancel your event or something, because they're holding all, maybe they end up losing money then, but because I'm where's the stickler for you have to pay us this date or something happens. We lose this. You can't have this amenity or, something like that.
Okay.
The wedding began at noon, just as their gospel gatherings always did. The ceremony was beautiful. While photos were being taken, I showed the mother of the bride the reception room. So it's weird. Everything's just going as normal, even though they...
Yeah, we're just going forward, even though nobody was confirming anything. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Immediately. She began tearing it apart, the mother of the bride, tearing apart the reception room. The linen colors were wrong. The tables were too far from the windows where a large buffet had been set up overlooking the golf course. The dance floor was too large, even though most guests dance at their tables. The cake was missing a tier and it was crooked. Or she's saying it wasn't. These are all the things that the mother of the bride was saying.
Okay.
And it was crooked. It wasn't. The lighting was too dim and felt solemn. The servers were dressed too formally. One server hunched too much. She didn't like my dress. She's talking to the...
Your server has bad posture. Okay, I get being upset in certain things, and we'll hear more of the story. I understand. What if that person has a back issue? You don't know. Why are we going after the servers themselves? That's kind of crazy.
Wild.
That's wild. Okay. Yes,
you don't know anything about this person.
Yeah. What in the world?
To make that comment. They're doing their jobs, aren't they? They're helping.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. Then to say she didn't like her dress, the person doing it. She's saying she didn't like my dress. It clashed. So the person that sent in this email that runs these.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I'd be like, okay, like, sorry,
right.
That's what I chose to wear.
That's wild. Okay, bizarre.
Oh gosh, the flowers were too sparse. There were too many ribbons. She was irate. I was completely dumbfounded. And that's a problem too. Well, I mean, there's so many problems with this.
Right.
Like, thinking that she has some power coming in. It's like she's not the client.
Yeah.
But it is weird that they just stopped hearing from the bride and groom, and then the uncle just comes in.
Right. And it's weird to me too that weddings that I've been to, my wedding, we very much discussed what the layout was going to be, how things were going to look. And I know that they said we did let them know that the linens wouldn't be able to be the same because of whatever. So they were aware of that. Maybe this mom isn't aware of the change. Okay. But also, who are you? Like, I get you're the mom, but you're also like not the deciding factor.
Yeah. I feel like it was something where the mom wasn't as involved as she wanted to be or something. And it sounds like the person that wrote this, obviously it's a little biased because she's the one that sent it to us. So I'm like hearing her perspective, but I'm like, sounds like she knows what she's talking about. She's done all these weddings and events before.
Right.
So I'm sure they're following the contract, following the plan. The mom's
coming. Oh, sure.
Like, I don't like this. This is not what I envisioned. Or she's embarrassed because she wants her family to see something different.
That's just so, it's so silly to me too, because let's say all of these things are the genuine, the bride comes in and ends up saying the exact same thing. Where have you been? You haven't like been communicating with us to like even know maybe the original discussion was that there were going to be this many ribbons, or maybe the discussion was that the flowers were going to be how they're going to be. Mm-hmm. If you're not having, because it's sounding to me like the venue is providing most, if not all, of the setup. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're having to coordinate multiple different vendors. It's sounding like it is the venue that's doing this. So how that communication between the couple and the venue itself got so lax is strange to me. Like,
Okay.
I need to hear more.
Okay. Says she stormed off and I went back to business as usual. This was a $16,000 wedding. Absolutely all out. That seems low to me, but I don't know. I hear golf.
At first I was like 16, but then I'm like, actually, no, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
At least in this area.
I don't know where this was, but yeah, I feel like golf course weddings, when we were just kind of getting ideas, I feel like golf courses were like the most expensive because it was resort vibes, everything included. And so
correct.
I feel like those were like at least 50, if not way higher.
Yeah. No, so, I agree. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So it said intro's finished, first dance is done, speech is complete, dinner music began. The buffet was destroyed, completely cleaned out. So destroyed in a good way, I think she means.
Okay, like demolished the food. They ate
it
all.
That's what I'm gathering.
Shiny
Schaefer's. Yeah, I'm like, okay, I was going to pronounce that wrong. And all. Music continued, some dancing followed, and then the mother of the groom approached me. She said, the food was awful. The servers were slow. People were spiking drinks at a dry wedding, apparently sneaking alcohol from another bar into the building. The dance floor was a slippery hazard. The linens were dirty after people ate. My gosh, it didn't take a genius to see where this was headed. The hints for a massive discount started shortly after.
Here we go. Oh, no.
They don't want to pay.
Hopefully they've already cashed that check, girl, and it didn't bounce.
It's for the dirty dance or the dirty linens thing reminded me. I saw this thing where an influencer was trying to do something where she was getting free money. She was at a restaurant and she filmed the floor and was like, the place was dirty. And then the owners came out and they were like, she was there right after like a 12 party or a 12 person party just got up and left. And she filmed right under the table. So it's just all about like, if you've never worked in a restaurant or.
Yeah, that's wild to me. The linens are dirty. I mean, aren't they there to like get used and like to protect like the tables and to like look nice? I mean, your wedding dress is going to be dirty by the end of the night, like the bottom of it, you know, you're using the item.
Yes. That's wild. And again, saying servers were slow. You're going to complain about that?
That's wild to me. And clearly the food wasn't that bad if everybody ate it all.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Then I heard screams. Oh my God. Sure enough, the cake was on the floor. They claimed a server knocked it over, while rushing for plates. She did not. And no, this was 2001. Okay, there we go. So it was 2001. That's
okay.
So much has changed since then.
So much.
16,000 in 2001 I could get now.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
She did not. And no, this was 2001. No cameras. Suddenly, the older women erupted into crocodile tears, wailing and chanting praises. They cried that the souls, wait, what? The souls of those honored on the cake had been desecrated. Now they're saying because the server knocked it over, it was like an insult to the loved ones that were the cake was for. There.
So let's say that a server did knock it over. You are jumping over the Grand Canyon, my friend, to say that that is a disrespect on a deceased loved one. I can see somebody going up to the cake, taking whatever that symbolic thing was, chucking it at the wall like, okay, yeah, you're being disrespectful to that. If something accidentally gets knocked over, my first thought would not be, oh, my family members, I can't believe, like, that is a stretch. That is a big stretch. Wow.
And by everything that we've learned so far, I'm like, they're just looking for all of this to like add up. They're thinking of all the dollars that they can get back, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She said the accusations went on and on. Eventually the night wound down. The room was left trashed. Then came the demand. They wanted their money back.
Gosh. Oh no.
That even when I hear stories like this about someone going into a restaurant and you can tell from the beginning, they complain about every little thing. I mean, I used to work in the restaurant industry. I saw it all the time. Yeah. You see it, right? It's like, you know, from the second those people sit down, these are someone that's going to complain. They want a discount. And I was more than happy. Like if something was wrong or if something, you know,
give
a discount, I'll take it off completely. But you can tell right away when it's someone that's going to complain about everything. Even like they'll drink like Dr. Pepper or Sprite and they'll be like, something's off in this. Something's off.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get it checked. Or it's a brand new, you know, anything would be wrong.
Right.
So when it's something like this, like a wedding, $16,000, and they're going to be like, we want our money back.
No, and I can see it being, and maybe you've had this experience too. I can also kind of get the vibes of when I'm going to have a client ask me for a refund. It always seems to be the ones that I am the most lenient with or the ones that I try to give, like, extra things to be nice that end up coming back and expecting more and then wanting a discount because of X, Y, and Z reason. So
they say you give an inch, they take a mile or something. Those kind of people.
1,000%. That is definitely the case. So sounding like that is this case.
Yeah.
Okay. How does this end?
It says that's when we learned they had assumed they were paying the same rate as the usual 2-hour Sunday buffet lunches, despite having a signed contract stating otherwise. Why would you not look at that and just assume?
And is it really that they assumed or they thought that because they were such a come every Sunday group that they could just talk their way into it and get that discount after the fact? Right. But you should never... I'm looking at my camera at this moment. I know I've been looking all around.
Right.
Never sign a contract for an amount, assuming that it's not going to be that amount.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Contract is it's locking you in. It's literally telling you what you owe when you pay it.
Yes.
I don't understand how you could assume, like, I don't want to say ignorance, but that's being extremely naive to be like, okay, we come here every Sunday for a 2-hour buffet. I'm like, that's way different than a wedding.
That is way different from a wedding that you're getting linens, you're having people catering your food, you're having florals, you're having, it sounding like music maybe was even provided. Like what they were listing all of the stay for the bride and groom for this case, like they did a lot. Mm-hmm. So to me, for them to just expect that to be the same as a little buffet that they do every Sunday is insanity. And it's sounding very entitled to me. Like that's the vibe that I get, that they just probably thought going into this, like I said, that, oh, well, we come here every Sunday. We should be allowed. It's giving. Well, I know the owner vibe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's the vibe that it gives. And it's like, okay, cool.
You're like, so do I.
So do I. And this is still how much it is. Like,
oh my gosh. I've seen so many skits about that where someone's like, well, I know the owner. And they're like, okay, well, get in line. All these people.
My favorite thing when that would happen to me is they would be like, well, I know the owner. Can't you just give me a discount? And I'd be like, I know my dad too. Like, my dad owned the restaurant that I worked at. So that always killed me. I'd be like, yeah, same.
And I also like anyone that says that, if you're going to your friend's restaurant or someone you know's restaurant, wouldn't you want to contribute to a small business or help
And
them
that's
out?
The thing too. I have never been in a situation that I can think of that I'm ever going to a friend's business or going to have a friend do anything for me that I am like asking for a discount or right. I'm expecting a discount. I mean, I had a friend do, she's my hairstylist, do my hair for my wedding. I still obviously like paid her. I still tipped her well, like just because she's done my hair forever and we've been friends for however long, like that would be super weird of me to just assume that that would be free or discounted or something. So that's the vibe I'm getting with this, though, is that they assumed that.
I've always noticed it's the people that are more acquaintances or know you through people that do it. Yeah. It's never like a real friend. Because I don't think I've said this on the podcast before, but like years ago, so like I do art. Well, again, this was pre-kid. I haven't done a lot of art in a while, but I used to do like charcoal art drawings, and I've done a lot of stuff for weddings, like art-wise, like creating like trees with the thumbprint, whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so years ago, I was like a guest at a wedding. So like my friend's old friend neighbor was getting married. She's like, you guys should come with us. It was a very laid back wedding, more the merrier. Yeah. The week before, the bride was like, can you make me a guest book tree thing? And I was like, so nice. I'm early 20s at the time, like no boundaries, just wanted to people please. And I'm like, normally I probably would have charged a fair price, probably would have been like $100 to $200 because it takes a while.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, maybe I'll charge her a little bit less. She goes, just don't get me a gift. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like I already had a gift that I bought. Like, and I was like, okay. And then literally I should have learned my lesson. But then a year later, I was like doing charcoal drawings for people. People were paying whatever. She never paid me to this day. It was like someone she like, I went and brought it to the house, like a whole family charcoal drawing. It took hours. And I'm like a broke, just recently graduated college kid.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I don't have cash on me. Like, just tell me what it is and I'll like send you money later. Never did. And it's so dumb now, but in my mind, I'm like, that's that kind of person that just expects a discount.
Yeah.
Because they know you somehow.
Yeah. No, I will say I have been a bridal makeup artist for 10 years now. And it's always the person who was randomly in my English class freshman year of high school that's like, hey girl, I'm getting married. What are your rates? And me sending them, well, if you want my pricing guide, feel free to email my assistant. She'll get that sent over to you. Oh my gosh, no girl, you can just send them in here. Like it's fine. Facebook Messenger. And I'm like, no, it's easier for me to keep things compact. And they're like, oh, well, is there any way that I could get like a friend and family discount since we know each other? And da, 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 da. I've had that happen so many times. And I'm like, honestly, I don't know like anything about you.
How much friends are we?
I was going through it when I was in high school. My sophomore to end of junior year is when that first hip surgery stuff was happening. They say that pain erases memory or whatever sometimes. And that's why like I've heard, oh, well, for people who have kids might be apt to have kids again, even if the first birth was like awful because they just like forget the pain or whatever, which I don't know how true that is. But I will say there are huge lapses of my memory from that time of my life where I probably, like if I saw you on the street, random person in my Facebook Messenger thing, like I probably wouldn't even know that was you. So why would you think that I would want to give you a discount? Like that's just wild to me.
Well, they're the same MLM people that want you to join their team.
Girl, ain't that the truth?
Hey, girl from middle school, we never talked, but I started this new MLM. It's going to save your life. And I'm like,
Well, and I get that all the time too. Maybe you do too, now that you have a following is like online and everything, is the amount of people who are like, you should do this because you already have the following. You could easily make millions and da 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 da. I'm honestly like so good. Thanks, though. I don't.
So good. Thank you.
I've actually never been more okay not doing that. Like, I don't want to do it. Like
more the reason to not do it. Thank you.
And the amount of people, too, and maybe you've had this as well, that are like, could you use my song in the background of your video? And they're like a random person from freshman year of high school that has like a SoundCloud or whatever it's called.
I've not had that. That's
weird. I get that. I get people, oh, could I collab with you? I need to get more views on my stuff because I do X, Y, and Z. And it's like a random person I haven't talked to since I was in I was 13. I'm like, no, I don't know you anymore. Just because you knew me at a blip of my life, you do not just have access to me 24/7. That's wild to me.
Yeah.
Anyways, I tangented a little bit, but
no, we both did because I feel like it's such a common thing. So when we read something like this, I'm like, oh, I know that person. If you're listening, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that to people.
Always offer to pay full price for friends, family. And then if later they want to come back and be like, you know what, I want to throw them this for free because you're my friend, then awesome. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, for me, and they probably don't even know I do this, but like my dad's employees, I give them my friend and family discount because they work for my dad. They probably don't even know that I do that, but it's something that I add on. But it, to me, if it was like a new employee of my dad and they're like, can I get a discount? I'd probably be a little bit more like what? That's odd. Like, don't do that. Don't expect things, I guess, is what we're trying to say, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So it ends with saying, so despite having signed the contract stating otherwise, no one tipped. Some servers were even in tears. Others finally snapped back verbally. And at that point, we allowed it. So I'm wondering if this is all just happening right there, because I'm wondering why the servers were involved in that, because I would kind of be like, servers go home. And then maybe the next week they're like trying to demand money. But I don't know if this is, this sounds like later on in that night.
It's happening like in the night, which I will say, and this is maybe a controversial thing, but I don't ever expect a tip. And I know that in some different things, it's a little bit more common to do it. Like I probably always would tip a server. But if I were, you know, a venue or whatever, you should always have your pricing be to the point where if something like this happens and nobody's getting tipped, your server isn't in tears because they didn't feel like they made enough money. It should still be like the base rate should still be good.
I agree with you.
To me, and it's different. I will say, if you're going out to eat, totally different. Totally different. Because I know that minimum wage is like $2 or something, and you're living off of your tips in that, like you're supplementing with your tips in that way. I would imagine, and maybe it's wrong, and if it is, please correct us, I don't know, but I would imagine that when you're working as a server for an event like this, you're probably getting more of like an hourly base rate that's like more than the $2 minimum wage, because this is more of like an event. So
yeah,
I would imagine that that should be more common.
I can't speak obviously for all events, but I used my job in college, I worked at a hotel and I worked in the bar and like I was a cocktail server. But we obviously hosted events. And so there were banquet servers. And from my memory, they made like $11 an hour. Like they were serving at weddings and stuff. Whereas our actual like restaurant servers were making like $5, $6.
Yeah.
They were more inclined to get tipped. So as far as I remember in banquets, you don't typically get tipped as a server.
Yeah.
Maybe bartenders will get like cash.
I can see bartenders, but even... Yeah, me thinking of any time I've attended a wedding, I don't think that I've ever tipped the person that's bringing me the plated meal or serving the buffet. I don't think that. So to play devil's advocate on that one little speck, I will say, I do think that the tipping thing, that's not something that you should just expect. Like even me as a makeup artist, I get probably like 75% of my clients tip, but it really doesn't bother me either way, because I make sure that my pricing is to where I feel like I'm comfortable after expenses or whatever that I made. You shouldn't be relying on your tips, I guess, is what I'm saying for this type of a job. Servers in the real everyday, you're working at like Bob Evans or something. I understand.
Yeah, tip your servers. And stuff.
Yeah. I just, please tip your normal servers, but I don't know if that's common practice.
It makes me wonder if they didn't typically do this kind of thing.
But they sound so prepared for it, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so little tidbit.
Interesting.
But they didn't get tipped.
So,
and they're crying.
And then it says others finally snapped back verbally and they allowed it. So that seems kind of weird to me too, to allow the servers to snap at the customer.
I understand when tensions are really high and situations are really heated to get caught in the heat of the moment. But whether you're the manager, whether you are the owner, whatever, it is your responsibility to make your employees, hey guys, take a step back. I'm going to handle it. You have to be the one to handle the situation, because all that's going to do is create more and more heat and more heat, more heat. And that's, everybody's just going to be mad. So yeah, allowing your employees to be even in a position where they're feeling like they need to go back and forth like that. Like once you start to notice that the heat is coming on a little bit, hey guys, take a step back. Hey, how can I help you? What's the problem? You shouldn't put your employee in that position, because I know that weddings that I've been to, a lot of the times the servers, they are like in their late teens, early 20s. That's a lot to put on someone young. Like that's a lot. So yeah. I feel like that's another thing I would interject in this situation. It would have maybe been beneficial. I know we don't know how this ends yet, but to have the employees kind of step aside and you handle it one person, because if you're yelling at a bunch of different people, nobody's getting their point across. Nobody's listening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like at this point, the tips, the least of their concerns, they might not even want to pay for anything else.
Yeah.
So it says, come Monday, the check bounced. So no, they didn't cash the check. Oh, it makes me wonder. Okay, there's another paragraph. So let me read it first.
Okay.
But it says, their head pastor called to inform us they would not be paying. He warned that if we pursued the matter, the congregation would countersue, claiming we intentionally sabotaged a young, naive, God-fearing couple's wedding under the guise of miscommunication, even though they signed a contract.
That is, okay, sorry.
She says, when it was actually reckless discrimination, and somehow they won.
Wait, there was a lawsuit and they won?
It sounds like either, she doesn't say there was definitely a lawsuit. She just says he warned that if we pursued it, they would countersue, and then just ends with, and they won. So I'm wondering if they did sue them because they were like, we didn't get paid.
Whoa. First off, how any judge is letting that win over a signed contract is bonkers to me. Okay. I need to get into my business owner mind for a second here.
Yeah.
Why allowing, okay, thinking that it's 2001,
we're talking 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I feel old. I see 2001. I'm like, oh, it was like 10 years ago. 25 years
ago. I'm 28. So I was like three. What? Right? Two or three. Okay. Wow. Anyways, but like, I know things have updated. Things have changed a lot in those 25 years. But I think that it's a little bit crazy to accept just a check from a random person and not try to immediately cash it. I get that maybe it was, they said it was 3 days before. So if it's a Monday, it would have been a Friday. Okay. But
you think they waited till the banks were closed so they couldn't cash it?
Maybe. But at that point, I'm sorry, I'm needing a cashier's check. I'm needing like a money order or something. Like I need it to be more obvious that the funds are there, especially if communication has been so lax where I haven't even gotten to talk to my client in weeks. Yeah, that's wild to me. What I would say nowadays, me personally, if I'm accepting a check from a client, it has to be like a cashier's check or something like that. I am not accepting just a check because it has the potential to bounce. And you are still, especially in this situation when there's so much involved, makeup, obviously that sucks for me. Maybe I just replenished a lot in my kit and this was money that I thought was coming, that I'm going to be able to balance things out again. But venues, especially when it's sounding like this one provides, you still have to pay people. Like you still have things that have to be paid for. And now that that's bounced, whoa.
And I'm wondering how much that first deposit was for. Usually I feel like when I got married, it was like the first check was like 25%.
Yeah.
Then it was like 50, maybe. I don't know. So I like, it does like little increments. So I'm like, that's not going to cover their food.
No.
Like they ate all the food. That's
right.
And they're going to like live with themselves knowing that they scam these people.
Yeah.
I should make it clear. The people getting married, the families getting
married
scams the venue. because they knew what they were doing. Because no one signs a contract thinking it's going to be, oh, we do a 2-hour buffet here. It's the same as a wedding. Hey, do this, 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 and this for us. It's going to be the same.
I guess I'm also confused. Who signed this contract? Was it the bride and groom? Was it who signed this? Because why does the head pastor at their church get to be involved in this lawsuit at all?
Yeah, that's a great point. Why is he a part of this discussion?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That's like, him being like the, using like the hierarchy of like, oh, you use this very religious family and you're making them look bad. So don't you dare do that. So it's almost like him being like, I'm a pastor, let me say it. So they,
which why is a pastor doing that?
Yeah. Like, you're not a part of the family. You didn't pay. You're not in contract.
Yeah. That's so weird to me. And if this did go to court and they were able to, like, again, how did a judge, why is that being allowed? Why is the pastor of a church that they go to get to be the deciding say of whether a contract between somebody and a venue was a scam or not? That's just, wow.
Yeah. So I kind of wonder, like, if we read it the other way, if she's just saying they won, basically, we just went along with it. We didn't, like, try to sue them or, like, take any step further because he scared us, basically. Then I could see that, too.
That's, like, I can see that, but also, like, as a business,
you're out.
You have a contract for a reason. And if you're not going to stick with your policies and your contract and the things that are in there, what's the point of having it? Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there's been instances in the past for me where I have made exceptions to something that's in the contract, but it's normally because I'm trying to be accommodating of somebody. I will say that's tightened up a lot because of situations like this where I give an inch and they take a mile, but I just don't see how that happened. Like, so much went wrong with this. Yeah. And so much that I think that this business, and I hope that if they're still around, that they learn from this. Communication needs to be better. Their, what happens if you stop communicating with me needs to be better. Their payment processes hopefully are better. And hopefully they have more solid contracts or confidence in their contracts that should something like this happen again, it's worth fighting for because, wow, that was a lot.
When people complain about like rules and stuff, it's because of people like this. This is why contracts have to be as detailed as they are, is because there's people that take advantage and now they have to be super clear. You have to cover every single instance because of people like this. Because they were trying to scam the crap out of
you. And if you are somebody that is getting married or you are going to be entering into a contract for whatever reason, read what you're signing, please. Don't just blindly sign and then claim ignorance. Because nowadays, I just cannot see if this went to court nowadays that that would have held up at all for the client's favor. Like, I cannot see that happening.
No way.
So be mindful of what you're signing. And on the flip, vendors or whoever is sending out the contracts, make sure that you feel confident in the things that are in your contract, that you feel that you can back those things up. Consult with an attorney. Don't just write something down and have somebody sign it. Make sure it is like a legal contract. Yeah, because this type of stuff happens. And me personally, as a random big sister business owner, advice to you too, if you're a makeup artist or a hairstylist or somebody that, let's say you have a season that you go through and now here's the next one. Revisit that contract at the end of the season. What happened in that year that you don't want to happen again? Mm-hmm. Put it into your contract so that it doesn't happen again and go forward. You might have people be like, why is this so long? Or why does this even need to be specified? You don't have to explain yourself to those clients, but you can say, if you want to say anything at all, well, everything that's in the contract is there for a reason. Yeah, you have to protect yourself as a business owner and as a consumer signing contracts. Protect yourself too. You don't know what a contract is saying. If you don't know the legal mumbo jumbo, you don't have to. Nobody is forcing you to sign anything.
Yes.
You can consult with somebody if you need help before signing anything, even if it's just asking the business to clarify what this means. Because, yeah, don't sign into something that you don't know. Because either one of you, it could come back and bite you.
Yeah. Most places now, like you said, are not going to be like, oh, you didn't read it. They're going to be like, too bad. you signed up. So
yeah, I mean, I've had to do that multiple times where we've had to send screenshots or we've copied the portion of the contract that applies to X, Y, or Z situation and send it to that client and say, well, then the contract that you signed, this is what it says. And you have to lead with confidence with that. You have to say, well, this is what you signed. And they can come back and counter, but this is what you signed. And
yeah. It makes me think too, kind of like looking back at the beginning, that there were so many different parties involved. And I think this is why a lot of places too are like, we only work with the bride and groom, or we only work with the couple getting married. Because I feel like they probably, the young girl comes in from the group, she's really excited. They're like, yep, this sounds great. She's the one that talks with them. They sign the contract. She probably pays the first deposit. Sounds like, yeah, it says the bride and groom agree. They pay everything, no issues. Then other people are getting involved. Maybe the moms start seeing it and they're like, whoa, how are we going to pay for this? Because I think that's why there was that radio silence, right? They're like starting to worry about the cost. Then this random uncle comes in.
Yeah.
Either he was planning on paying for it the whole time, or he goes, wait, guys, I've got an idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, was this a plan the whole time? Part of me thinks yes. He's like, yes. I'm going to come in. They're not going to ask me questions. They don't know me. I don't know about the wedding. Bring this check in. Oh, it's covered. We're good. We're going to get our wedding. And then you guys come in hot and
want. Yeah.
Because there's people that do this like for a living.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, my dad owns a restaurant. There's people that we have on the do not let reorder list because they've had multiple and multiple and multiple times where they call back and complain that something is wrong. And to the point where we would like red label them, maybe like, hey, if they call, make sure that you are so precise and confident that everything going into this order is exactly right. And they would still call back and say X, Y, or Z happened. For example, and this is talking on my dad's behalf for a little bit, but he had a customer that would constantly complain about something being wrong with the pizza. The toppings weren't right. My dad owns a pizza place. The toppings weren't right. The cheese had slid to the side by the time that the delivery driver got it there. It was burnt. It was too cold. Blah, 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 blah. So finally, my dad was working one day and it was just him and the delivery driver. And he makes the pizza. He knows that this person is a chronic complainer. Mm-hmm. So he is on it. Yeah. Just him in the building, delivery driver, nobody else. Makes the pizza, sends it on its way. Of course, like 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, he gets a call from that person and they're complaining. Well, what's wrong? There is a massive blonde hair in my pizza. My dad said there's a long blonde hair. Okay. Are you sure it's not yours? No, it can't be mine. Everybody in my family has brown hair. Okay. If I send the delivery driver back, would you give him the pizza and the hair that is in that so that we can figure out where this is coming from? Oh, well, I mean, we already ate it. We ate around it, but like, this is ridiculous. My dad goes, you know what's also really funny? The delivery driver and I are both bald and nobody else is working today. So they stopped ordering after that. But it's just so funny. And come to find out, I mean, I did a little bit of Facebook stalking. Their family's all blonde. Like, what are you talking about? Everybody in that family had blonde hair. Like, so it's just funny. But yeah, it does happen like all the time and in so many different industries that people will just try to get away with scamming you, and you have to protect yourself as a business owner. Like, you just, I feel bad for when things like this happen. Though I will say, like we were saying throughout this, there were definitely learning moments from this, management wise or whatever, and policy wise. But I think that maybe it's from the sounds of it, maybe this was kind of a newer thing for them and they just didn't have those policies or whatever in place yet. I think that this is us seeing what kind of happens to a lot of professionals where you have something like this happen, which builds those standards and things like that for it to not happen again. So I think we might have seen the beginning of this golf courses event planning.
They're real strict now.
Yeah.
Which sucks. You have to learn that way, losing $16,000 and then some because they said they kept adding on all these extras. So hopefully this was
a learning moment
for them. But think about the couple that got married. Your wedding was built on a lie.
That's really wild and like bad juju. Like, why would you want that?
Yeah,
I'm curious to know, are they still married?
I know, I was thinking that too. I'm like, I could not like your kids are, or your kids or family one day is asking about your wedding and you're like, oh yeah, I was at this place. Do you think they like lie about it? Like, oh, it was amazing. We loved it. Oh, it was terrible. You know, like, because if it had all the things they wanted, I don't know. And they never specified either if it was the bride and groom refusing to pay or if it was the moms coming in.
Right.
Saying not going to pay. So it makes me wonder, maybe it was like a fake account or like
the girl
up a new account and was like, okay, we're going to write a check. So many questions. I love getting vendor stories, but I also like, I'm like, oh, I don't like, there's so much missing.
Right. I wish I could call them and be like, okay, wait. So yeah. What happened?
I know. Oh my gosh. That was wild.
That was real.
Well, I always like to end these with, as I shake my whole computer right now, I always like to end these with confessions people send me on Instagram. So here we go. This is about biggest wedding regrets.
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah. This one says, letting my friend declare herself my maid of honor. It shouldn't have been her. I hear that a lot. And I always wonder how that happens. Because if that was a friend to, like, someone to me saying like, oh, I'm your maid of honor, and they weren't, I would probably just laugh and just move on. How do they know themselves?
I definitely have heard this a lot from my clients that, oh yeah, this person kind of made themselves my maid of honor. Like, I was going to ask them to be a bridesmaid, but I really wanted this person to be my maid of honor. I think what happens a lot of the time is you get people pleaser brides that don't want to offend anybody. This person probably means a lot to them, maybe just not in the I think they should be maid of honor way. But I think that it's hard when they're trying to make sure that everybody's happy. They don't want to start wedding drama, especially when it comes to bridesmaids. Like, you're usually picking that out pretty early in the wedding planning process. Like, who wants to start that drama? But I will say, if you are somebody that recently got engaged or you're just announcing bridal party members and somebody's trying to assert that, I think that it's really important and in the long run better to just be clear right away. And I know that a lot of people like to do those bridesmaids boxes or things like that where they're asking people. Definitely make sure that you give yourself time between announcing the engagement and picking your bridesmaids that you kind of like have everything so you can quickly do that so that this doesn't happen. Because I think that it's when there's that gap that people can just assume and then push their way into it. Yeah, I think it's important. Like, if you're announcing that you're engaged, maybe within a week or two, you're asking people. And maybe that's a big turnaround. I don't know. It's a little bit hard if you don't know the engagement's coming. But I do think like it's important to have a list and roster in the back of your mind if you're knowing within a year I'm probably going to be getting engaged to, like, you are I'm going to be getting engaged, like, you should probably have somewhat of a roster.
Because even if you don't have like the bridesmaid boxes ready or whatever you're going to do, you can at least be like, oh, you know, I actually, my sister or my friend over here or whatever is being that person.
And it might be awkward. Like, it probably will be awkward, those conversations, but I'd rather you have a conversation early on and it be a little bit awkward than to be submitting that you regret it to us.
Yes. Because then you're giving in and then you're making it their day. Not completely, I get that, but like, you're still like, they're going to have their way with whatever. Oh, give me these bright, like, what is it? Where does it end? We're going to have these bridesmaids dresses because I like these best for my body.
Right.
Like, well, wait, we weren't even supposed to be the maid of honor. And then you're going to have this right. And I feel like.
Exactly. No, I 1000% agree.
Let's see. This says, letting my mother-in-law add over 40 guests to the list, which meant cutting down our friends list.
Ooh. So I personally told like family members, like, they were allowed an X amount of people that they could invite. But I also made it clear, like, I still wanted it to be people that were like in my life. Like, I wouldn't want my mom to invite like a random person from our church that knew me when I was 3. Like, that would be kind of odd. I definitely think you have to kind of go into things like that, where you're giving like a, hey, so-and-so's going to have this many people. I'm going to have this many people. His family's going to have this many people. You guys can have this many people, and that's how we're reaching capacity. Like, I think that you have to be very clear with those things from the get-go.
Yes. Yeah. Especially if it seems like someone that everybody's their best friend or everyone's their friend.
Right.
Just give like a little limit. Be like, okay, you can tell me 20 people.
Right.
And then if they give you 20 and they're like, hey, I also want to invite so-and-so, then sure, you can give wiggle room. But when you give a free rein, that's scary territory.
Yeah. And even with wiggle room, you have to be clear though, too. Like if somebody's like, oh my gosh, I know I gave you 20 people, but like so-and-so has to be there. I just totally blanked and forgot. You could be like, okay, yeah, maybe we could squeeze that one more person in, but like, we're really done after that. Like, you can't be like, okay, yeah, I guess this is not another person. Like, because the more you're lax, again, give an inch, take a mile type of thing is going to happen.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more. Someone says, I regret not eloping. Should have saved the money and skipped the drama.
Okay, I have heard this so much, like a lot. I'm talking even on wedding days, I hear this. Like,
wow.
Yeah, because sometimes the lead up drama is the worst part. Like the scheduling of the bachelorette or the bridal shower was maybe awful. Like people sometimes by the time it gets to their wedding day, they're like, I don't even want to do this. Like, and it's not that they don't want to get married. It's just they don't want to have to put on the performance and all of it. So I have definitely heard that a lot. I would say that if you're somebody that you and your significant other, you don't really necessarily want a big wedding. You don't necessarily see even a wedding as like a big thing to you. And maybe financially, it's not the best option for you. It is never worth it to put yourself in debt to have a wedding. That is wild to me. I have had brides tell me that they have taken out loans for their wedding. Couldn't be me.
Consumerism and wedding culture all together of like be the biggest, best wedding to post all over social media and have this grand day. And it's like, yes, weddings are beautiful and amazing, but at the end of the day, it is a day.
Right.
And you do not want to go into your marriage broke or owing a bunch of money or having debt. That is, I feel like that is just like such a hard thing to go into a marriage with.
And I think that people kind of have created this almost stigma of it's like a bad thing to elope. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Some of the most beautiful weddings have been elopements. One of my friends, her name, you guys might follow her online, is Mermeg Hair. Her and her husband got eloped. And I want to say they were out in like some like desert, sorry, Meg, if you're watching, but they were in some sort of desert, beautiful thing. And what they prioritized was the photography. And that was where the majority of their budget went. And oh my word, talk about magazine wedding, like some of the most stunning wedding photos I've seen of my life. And it was an elopement. Like it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm giving up these beautiful photos. Oh, I'm giving up, I can get great makeup done. You can invest now in the things that do matter to you more. Like maybe you really, really want good photos, but you don't care if it's just four of you there. Like you can invest in those things now because you're not spending $50,000 on a wedding.
Right. I think it's one of those things too about like knowing yourself, knowing your family. If there's high tensions and you're like, gosh, our families clash, or gosh, like my friends just don't get along with so-and-so, you know, whatever that is, and you're already stressed thinking about it, maybe that's a sign. Everyone knows themselves best. Like for me, I did not want a huge wedding, but I also could not, I could only picture like all of our families and friends together dancing and like hanging out and like one big party. So it wasn't like humongous, but it wasn't really small either. But for me, that was important to me and my husband. But we didn't have drama leading up to it that we were like, oh, I'm so nervous about people being in the same room. But I know a lot of the times when they regret, I feel like it's because they're getting pressure from someone saying, you need to have this wedding. We need to have this big wedding to show off to everybody. But meanwhile, the bride and groom are the ones like suffering because they're like, this isn't
right.
Us. This isn't what we want.
Right. You have to be mindful. It's okay to get people's opinions, especially when it's from people that you really do value. Like maybe your parents are very important and big in your life. It is okay to take those opinions. But at the end of the day, if that is not what you want, who's the one going in debt because of these things? Who's the one that's living with the fact that, oh, my wedding was so stressful and so dramatic and da 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 da? It's not your parents, it's you. So you have to be mindful of yourself when it comes to wedding planning and just like weddings in general, because ideally, I mean, I know it doesn't happen all the time. This is a once in a lifetime thing for you. I know people get remarried. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying nobody's going into a wedding hoping that they're going to get married again. you are hoping that this is a once in a lifetime thing. Do you want to be like, the thing that's behind that is stress? No, I don't think that anybody wants that. So yeah, I think that taking opinions and valuing people's input is important, but never to the point where it's diminishing your own wants or finances, I guess, even in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely listen to your gut on that one and be on the same page with your partner and then move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing the time. I'm like, so sorry. I took so much of your time.
No, I can't see the time. So I'm just here to yap. I'm a certified yapper. I love it.
I remember you saying that last time. I love it because I get in that tendency of like just yapping too. And so like, I love when we're on the same page with that. So can you, for everyone listening, can you tell them where they can follow you, anything fun you're working on and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. TikTok's going to be my biggest one, but it's @Kendra_Matthews. Everywhere else, it's just @Kendra Matthews. I'm currently working on, depending on when this is getting posted, I'm going to be in Premier Anaheim, California, February 1st and 2nd. I'm going to be teaching multiple classes there. Otherwise, I have some other classes that I'm teaching. Come April, I'm going to be in Chicago again for America's Beauty Show. And then I am working on some independent classes. Ooh. You guys heard it first, but I am working on some independent classes coming up in this year. So stay tuned for those, but you can always just follow me on Instagram for the latest updates on that.
Awesome. Very exciting. Sounds like a lot of fun things are coming up.
Yes, so much fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on. This was so much fun hanging out.
Yeah, it was great seeing you again. Congratulations on having a podcast still rocking and rolling. I think I heard somewhere that most podcasts don't make it past the first 5 or 6 episodes. So
wow, that's
look great. At you going. You're rocking and rolling. And I can't wait to see what comes for you with the podcast. I love watching your skits and everything online. And yeah, I think that you're doing a great job.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching.
Thank you.
I will probably see you guys in a story time coming soon, because I told Krista I didn't want to share it here, but I think I'm going to build up the courage to share it soon.
Yay.
Yay.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials @HeyKristaEnnis for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.